Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Neider. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Neivert.
I'm reading from Genesis chapter 42, beginning in verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look upon one another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." I've entitled this message, Corn in Egypt. Now at this time, there was a worldwide famine, and Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt. There wasn't any in Canaan. The famine had struck that land. There wasn't any food to be had there. But Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, and he told his sons, "Go down to Egypt and buy, that we may live and not die." A couple of introductory remarks. Preaching. I believe this is the best definition I've ever heard of preaching. Preaching is one beggar telling another beggar where he got bread. Now that's what's going on with Jacob. He's telling his sons he's heard where there was food to be had. It was in Egypt. Now the other comment I'd like to make is there's so many scriptures that refer to the Lord Jesus Christ being the sum and substance of all scripture. He said concerning the scriptures, "They are they which testify of me." And this wonderful story in Genesis with regard to Joseph certainly testifies with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, as does every other scripture. The Lord said, "Moses wrote of me." Moses wrote Genesis, and when he was writing the book of Genesis, he was writing of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are not simply character studies of men who lived centuries ago, but all of these stories are given to teach us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you why there was a famine in the land. Joseph had been betrayed by his brothers, sold into Egypt. He worked faithfully for a man by the name of Potiphar. He was unjustly accused during that time and thrown into prison. During his time in prison, he interpreted two dreams, the dream of the butler, the dream of the baker, and they both came true exactly as he said. Now, some years later, while he's still in prison, Pharaoh has a dream. He dreams about seven skinny cows eating seven fat cows, and the skinny cows look no different after they had eaten the fat cows. And then he dreamed of seven full ears of corn being eaten by seven blasted empty ears of corn, and the empty ears of corn looked no different. And he didn't know what these interpretations of these dreams were. He called all the wise men of Egypt. They didn't know. He called the magicians. They didn't know. So the butler who was in prison remembered that Joseph had interpreted his dream, and he told Pharaoh that. And they sent for Joseph. Joseph interpreted the dream. He said that the seven fat cows and the seven good ears of corn represented 7 years of plenty. He said the seven skinny cows and the seven empty ears of corn represented 7 years of famine. God is showing Pharaoh what he's getting ready to do. God will send 7 years of plenty, and after that, 7 years of a worldwide famine that's going to be so severe that the 7 years of plenty will be forgotten. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, you need to have someone during these 7 years of plenty to manage all the plenty and save up food for the 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh put Joseph in charge. In one day, Joseph went from being a prisoner to the most important, powerful man in the world. And during those 7 years of plenty, through Joseph's supervision, much corn, much food was stored up. Listen to this description in Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, laid it up, the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering. For it was without number. That is the vast supplies of food that Joseph was able to save for the coming famine. Now, no one else knew that this famine was coming, but Joseph did. And through his wise management, vast, numberless amounts of food with no numerical value. And what this speaks of is what the Lord achieved when he went out from the presence of the Father. He achieved infinite merit for any needing sinner. He achieved infinite grace, infinite mercy, infinite redemption. Now, as great and grievous as my sin may be, His grace is infinitely greater. Grace that is greater than all our sin. And then in verse 53 of chapter 41, and the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. Everything had been great for 7 years. Everybody had all they could possibly want. But now those times are over, just as God said they would be. Verse 54, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. The only place you could find food was in Egypt. This was a worldwide famine. We've recently experienced what we've called this pandemic because of COVID. This was a much more severe pandemic. This was a pandemic of food. A worldwide famine. Everywhere there was nothing to eat except in one place in all the world, Egypt. Now let's go on reading verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. Now, let's think just for a moment about the fact that there was only food in Egypt. Now, what that represents is there's one place of God's favor. There's one place of God's grace. There's one place of God's mercy. And that place is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of God's favor, all of God's love, all of God's grace, all of God's loving kindness, all of God's salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not speak to, nor will He be spoken to, apart from His Son. Every blessing of God's salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what that's given to teach us is God doesn't bless us because of something we do. God blesses us because of something His Son did. Ephesians 1:3 says, He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the place of God's blessing. If I'm not in Christ, I'm not going to have God's blessing. All God has for the sinner is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just like there was one place where you could find food, there's one place of God's blessings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read Ephesians chapter 1, he enumerates what those spiritual blessings are. He said in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The Bible teaches election. The Bible teaches that God chose who would be saved before time began. And that choice was in Christ Jesus. And everyone chosen in Christ Jesus was chosen that they might be holy and without blame before him. What a blessing to be holy before God, to be without blame before God. In love, having predestinated us. God's love is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Predestination is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He predestined everyone. He predestined to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, in whom we have acceptance. We're accepted in the Beloved, accepted by God, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins. All of God's blessing is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to have any of God's blessing, it'll be for Christ's sake. Not for your sake, not because of something you do, but for Christ's sake. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, when the Egyptians came to Pharaoh and said, we want food, he said, go to Joseph. Whatsoever he saith to you, do. Now, what I get from that, and I know this is the teaching, you go to Christ. You don't go to the Father independently of Christ. You go to Christ. Whatsoever he says to you, do. Go to Christ. What do you need? You go to the Lord Jesus Christ for it. Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. God says, go to Christ. You see, God is one God in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is God the Son. He said, come unto me. Not go to the Father or to the Holy Spirit. Come unto me. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you have, and if I have any understanding of who God is and who we are, we'll understand that God cannot be approached apart from him who said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, do you need grace? Go to the Lord Jesus. Do you need the forgiveness of sins? Go to the Lord Jesus. Do you need righteousness? Go to the Lord Jesus. Do you need redemption? Go to the Lord Jesus. Do you need faith? Go to the Lord Jesus. If you can't come to him with faith, come to him for the faith. Ask him to give it to you. Do you need repentance? Well, he's exalted as a Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel. You won't repent unless he gives you the grace to repent. You go to the Lord Jesus for the repentance. Do you need a new heart? Go to the Lord Jesus. Do you need perseverance to be enabled to persevere all the way to the end? Go to the Lord Jesus. Now, this is such a beautiful type. Don't come to me, Pharaoh says. Go to Joseph. What he says, do. And it's the same thing with us. You go to the Lord Jesus for all things. And he has promised him that he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you go to the Lord Jesus, and whatsoever he says to you, do. Verse 56. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. This was a worldwide famine, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the land. Now Joseph opened all these storehouses. You know, he's the door into the vast storehouses of God's grace and God's favor. And he opened all these storehouses. I couldn't help but think where the Lord tells us that he was not sent to condemn the world. The world already was condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. He opened up all these vast storehouses, and there was one place where you could come and buy food. And that place was Joseph. Verse 58, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the lands. Now here's the scripture I read at the beginning of this message. Now when Jacob, he was in Canaan, he didn't have anything to eat, and he heard that there was corn in Egypt. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, how did he see that? Well, he said in verse 2, behold, I've heard that there's corn in Egypt. He'd heard. There's one place where you can have food. So he says to his 10 sons, why do you look upon one another? As if somehow you're going to come up with food. It's not going to come from you. Go down to Egypt. Don't look for yourself for anything. Go to Egypt. There's food in one place. And my dear friend, there is grace in one place. Don't look among yourselves. Don't look within. Don't look to someone else. There's only one place where God has favor for the sinner, and that place is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jacob says. He says, don't look one another. You're not going to be able to do each other any good. Go down. You see, the way up in the kingdom of heaven is always down. Go down to Egypt. Get ye down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. Now, when I've read that passage of Scripture, there's something that would make me think. Jacob was a wealthy man. Jacob had a lot of money. And Jacob could send money down to buy food. Now you're going to find out if you go on reading in this passage of Scripture that the money they brought, Joseph didn't accept it. He sent it back. You see, we're not going to pay for anything. Everything the Lord does is a free gift. They brought their money and they didn't yet know that it was Joseph, and Joseph sent it back, if you're familiar with the story. But I've often thought about this. What if you were in this famine and you didn't have any money and you didn't have any way of providing for food to go down to Egypt with? You could go down there, but if you didn't have any money, you wouldn't get any food. What about the people who did not have any money? Jacob had plenty of money. His sons had plenty of money. There's some who didn't have any. What about these people? Well, there's a passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 55 that answers that question. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 1, we read where God says, ho, ho, listen to what I'm saying. What a mercy that God gives us an attention getter. He says to us, whatever you're doing, listen, ho, God speaks. This is worth hearing. This is God speaking. And he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, you don't have to bring any money to buy this. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, what a mercy that God says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. Now, there are two descriptions of the people that he's calling to the waters. Number one, people who are thirsty. And number two, people who have nothing to pay. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Now, when you're thirsty, when you're hungry, you know you cannot satisfy that hunger or that thirst from within. Food and water is going to be brought from without you, and that's the only thing that will ever satisfy your thirst. Now, when he's talking about thirsting, he's talking about thirsting for God. He's talking about thirsting for righteousness. The Lord said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, the person who hungers and thirsts after righteousness is the person who really believes that they have no righteousness of their own, but how they desire righteousness. Now, the righteousness that every believer thirsts after is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, listen to me. The only righteousness I want to be found in when God comes looking for me is I want to be found in the righteousness and the merits of Jesus Christ, so that when God looks at me, all He sees is Jesus Christ. I don't want Him to see me in any way independent of me simply being viewed, seen in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepted in the Beloved. Now, who thirsts after this? And I'm glad it didn't say or talk about the degree of thirst. Some people seem to thirst more than others. I realize that, but it doesn't talk about the degree of your thirst. It just says thirst. Everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. Do you thirst for Christ's righteousness because you know you don't have one of your own? Now look what he says next. He says, he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, not only is the person who is thirsty called, but there's another aspect to this person who's thirsting. He doesn't have any money. He doesn't have a penny's worth of merit. He has nothing to bring to the table. He has no good works. He has no experience. He can't say, well, I've started doing this, or I've stopped doing that, or I've sacrificed this, or I've... No, he has nothing. He doesn't have a penny to pay. If you have something, this is not for you. You see, Christ only saves sinners. He only helps those who cannot help themselves. I've heard the saying, and you've heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves. No, God helps those who cannot help themselves. And that person who has no money, he has nothing to bring to the table. He has nothing that can recommend him to God. That's the person God says, come buy wine and eat, not only water, but milk for strength, wine for joy and gladness. All these things are to be had freely. Everyone that thirsts, everyone that has nothing, come to the waters. And then he asks this question in verse 2, wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? You know, the only thing that satisfies this man talking to you is the fact that Christ said it is finished. And he did it all, and there's nothing required for me to do. Now, I find satisfaction in that. If you take any of that off and say, well, there's something you need to do, I lose any joy and peace I might have. But I find such satisfaction in knowing that all that God requires of me, I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm satisfied by His resurrection. When He was raised from the dead, my sin was paid for. I was justified. Complete salvation. Now, why would you spend your bread for anything other than that? He says in verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make. This is God speaking, and He speaks to every thirsting soul who has nothing. He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now He says to everyone who thirsts for Christ and has nothing to bring to the table, no good works, no merits, totally dependent upon grace, He says, listen, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, if you read in 2 Samuel 23, verse 1, we read, these be the last words of David. These are David's dying words. And he says in verse 5, and this is what the Lord is referring to when he talks about the sure mercies of David. He says, although my house be not so with God. Now, his house was a mess. He had all kinds of criminal activity among his own children. There was murder, there was rape, there was incest. His house was a mess. And I have no doubt that when he says that, he's also talking about his own sinful body. The body is quite often in the Scriptures called the house. He said, although my house be not so with God, yet hath He made with me an everlasting covenant. It was made before time began, and it will never end. It's eternal. And David says this covenant is ordered in all things and sure. Now, why is it sure? Because it's Christ saving me. It's Christ paying for my sins. It's Christ giving me His righteousness. It's Christ preserving me all the way to the end. It's Christ making me just like Himself. It's ordered in all things, ordered by God, and it's sure. It's for sure, because it's God's work. Now, that's why they're the sure mercies of David. And David said, this is all my salvation and all my desire, though He make it not to grow. Now, if you come, if I come to God, thirsting after His Son and having nothing to pay, He'll make this covenant with me and you, even the sure mercies of David. This is Todd Niebuhr praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.niebuhr@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.